Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God that we think about and learn from this morning is John chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, although it's just the second part of verse 11. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So far, the Word of God. Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. What is the name of God? Those of my confirmation students are hiding there in the back, so I won't make them tell me, but we learn in confirmation class and in Scripture that the name of God is not just Jehovah or God, but in fact it's everything that identifies him or describes him. That's the way we put it in the catechism. If you wanted to talk about me, I'm sure you only have good things to say, right? But if you wanted to talk about me, you could refer to me as Pastor Udy, of course. Or you could refer to me as the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church, right? Or you could even, if you wanted, refer to me as that bald guy that gets up every Sunday and prattles on. And any one of those is going to let people know who you're talking about, at least any member of the congregation. And the same thing, of course, is true about God. We could say God, we could say Lord, we could also say the one who saved us, the one who created us, the one who has existed forever. And all of those are the name of God. They all point to him, make it clear who we're talking about. In short, then, God's name is everything that he's told us about himself, which is, of course, the Word of God. There is no difference between the name of God and the Word of God. And the Bible makes this clear in several places, not least of which is right here in our text, because our Savior in his prayer keeps switching back and forth between the two, making no distinction. Keep them through your name, he says, and then later on, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. To sanctify means to keep separate. And so those phrases are the same thing. The name of God is the Word of God. And it is through his word that he keeps us safe, preserves us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Jesus wants us to be one. That's why he says, preserve them in your name so that they may be one as we are one. And this also, of course, is only possible through the Word. It's only possible through the power of God that works through that Word. If we make the basis of our unity anything other than the Word of God, then we are basing our unity on the opinion of men. And one man might have this opinion, and another might have another, or one group of men might have this opinion, and another group another, and there will never be unity. But God's Word is truth. And in that truth, there is unity. As long as we stand firm in that Word and that word alone. but keep them in your name is not merely a memorizing of the doctrines of Scripture, is it? The unity that Christ speaks here is not simply a unity of words or a unity of confessing. It's something much deeper. When Christ says that they may be one as we are one, and that this may be accomplished through the Word, he's also talking about that love and that forgiveness that he teaches us in his Word, and which through the power of his Word he causes to live and abide in our heart. Living in the Word, living as one, means, yes, confessing the truth of God's Word, but allowing that Word also to live and abide in your hearts so that the forgiveness and the love that it teaches us may be shared among us and we may be united truly in our heart and our will and not just with our words. Jesus continues, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." As we heard a couple Sundays ago, Jesus is the good shepherd who has not and did not lose a single one of all the sheep that the Father gave to him. And this includes much more than just the 12 apostles. As we heard in our first scripture reading, shortly after the resurrection, there were about 120 disciples, all of whom belonged to Christ, all of whom Jesus had, while he was in the world, kept. Even through persecution, even while he himself was being betrayed and nailed to the cross, still he kept them in the name of the Father. Except one, whom Jesus calls the son of perdition. And with these words, Jesus shows us that Judas was in fact never one of his sheep. He calls him the son of perdition, the one who belonged to the evil one, the one who belonged to sin. Now this might seem like a pretty harsh judgment on Judas. We might easily sympathize with Judas. Not that we agree. I mean, we obviously know what he did was very wrong, but we can still sympathize with him. After all, Judas clearly thought that he wasn't really doing any harm. When he found out that Jesus was actually going to be charged and crucified, he was very remorseful. He was shocked. He ran back into the temple and threw the silver at the feet of the priests. He obviously and probably thought along these lines, like, well, it's no big deal. Jesus will do a miracle. He'll get out of it. They can't charge him with anything anyway. It's not going to matter. No one's even going to know. And then we get all this silver. And then won't the apostles be glad that we have this silver now that we can use for the ministry? And we know how we can easily get caught in similar temptations and similar thinking. And yet the Lord knows and proclaims judgment on Judas, that whatever he may have told himself, whatever excuses he may have said for what he did, the truth was his heart was set on the things of this world and not the things of Christ. And he considered money more important than Jesus. How easily we might fall into the same kind of temptations, the same traps. How easily our hearts also might get pulled away from putting Christ and each other first to the things of this world. And so this is a warning for us. But at the same time, that's the whole point of this entire section, this entire text, isn't it? That's the whole point, as we saw in the children's sermon, how impossible it is for us to make it through life without falling into all those traps and temptations that Satan has laid out for us. And it's for that exact reason that Jesus prays, Father, keep them. While I was in the world, I kept them, but now I'm leaving. And notice that Jesus prays for this before he leaves, so that there will be no gap there. He doesn't wait till he gets up to heaven and then tell the Father, you better start helping them out now. But before he leaves, he says, Father, now I am praying that you would keep them so that Satan may not have any opportunity to pull them away. To preserve them, I am praying that you would preserve them through your word. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. It is for this very reason that Jesus gave us his word, so that through that name of God, through that word, he might preserve and keep us in the one true faith unto life everlasting. And yet, it is that very word of God that paints a bullseye on us, isn't it? I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Pentagon Wars. It's one of my favorite movies. It's very funny. It's got Kelsey Grammer and Cary Elwes, you know, the guy from The Princess Bride in it. It does have some language, so maybe see if you can find the airplane version if you want to watch it. But anyway, in that movie, one designer or engineer, whatever you call him, is trying to design a troop transport for the army. So the purpose is to carry troops from one point to another. So you want to make it light, you want to make it fast, you want to make sure there's plenty of room for the troops. Right? If you can only fit two people in it, it doesn't work very well as a troop transport. So he makes it light, he makes it fast, he puts a little gun on the top for so that they, if they run into some trouble, they have something to shoot with. Well, the army general sees the design and says, what is this little pea shooter? You can't shoot anyone with that little pea shooter. We need a real gun on there. And he makes the engineer put this giant cannon on top of this troop transport. Well, now it's not light and fast anymore. It's heavy. And now there's not enough room inside because of the gun. And not only that, but you got to carry large ammo for this large caliber gun. So it goes from able to carry 11 troops down to able to carry 5 or something like that. Cuts the room in half. But most importantly, the engineer argues, now it's going to be a bullseye. Now it's a target. You got a little pea shooter on there, the enemy's not going to worry about it so much. You got this large, huge cannon on there, on this turret that everyone can see. Now it's a target. That's kind of what Jesus is saying here, isn't he? He's saying, I gave them your word to take them out of the world, to keep them safe, to bring them to you, but because of that word, now they're a target. And how the world does love to criticize, to hate, to attack conservative Christians. And even if the world isn't, it's by far the place where Satan focuses his time and his attention. The more the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, the more we have that name of God, the more vicious is Satan's attacks against us. And we can't even see it. So all the more then we need to live in his word. All the more we need this prayer from Jesus that the Father would keep us through his power and through his word. I do not pray, Jesus continues, that you should take them out of the world, but I pray that you should keep them from the evil one. Despite all this danger and suffering and difficulty that Jesus knows surrounds us every step of our life, despite that, Jesus does not pray that we should be taken out. In fact, a couple verses later, he says specifically, I have sent them into the world. Not only am I not praying for you to take them out, I am specifically sending them into this danger, just as you, Father, sent me. Jesus does not take us out of the world. Why are we here? Why are we enduring the hostilities and the sufferings of this world? One member just asked me that the other day. Why am I still here? The answer is very clear and very simple. So that we might share that name of God with others. so that we might share that word of God, so that others also might be sanctified and brought out of the world, even as we have been sanctified and brought out of the world. And so that we might share that name of God, that love and that forgiveness of Christ with one another, to encourage one another as we travel through this difficult life. Sometimes we ask the opposite, right? Why already? It goes both ways. Why so soon did you take so-and-so out of the world, O Lord? And again, the answer is there. It was time to take that person out of the danger and home to their eternal paradise. But while we are here, we have work to do that others might be sanctified by his truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus sanctified. That means, remember, set apart, make holy. Jesus set himself apart from the world. And although he was in the world, he did not partake of the things of the world. He kept himself holy and undefiled from the sin of the world because he knew we would not be able to do it ourselves. He did that for us, keeping himself apart even to the point of death. He did that so that we might be sanctified through him and through that word of truth that he has given us. Therefore, we are no longer of the world. We are still in the world for a short time, but we are no longer of the world. So that when we are here, so that we can share that love and that fellowship with others. Through the blood of the Lamb, the Father has cleansed us from all sin. And through the word of the Lamb, he has kept us in the one true faith. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.